You might want to stick a disclaimer at the start of this.
Oh, yeah, well, God knows. That was a given.
Got that horrible, foul-mouthed man.
He's a bad influence.
Yeah! Australia!
Australia Day! Fuck yeah! After 14 months of absence, we are finally here. This is Cole Jedi, Cole Houston, of course, welcoming my best mate in Australia, Mr. Stuart Balk, back to the table for BS with SB Volume 2, the 14 months fucking later edition.
Australia Day!
Yes, indeed. This is the Australia Day special, because here we are just now arriving at... No, actually, as I speak, we're about a little under an hour out from being what time it would need to be if this was Australia, and we were awaiting Australia Day, because it's still fucking Sunday here, and it's Monday over in Australia, down under.
Yes, it is.
And not just any Monday. This is a very important Monday. This is the first national holiday of the year, isn't it? I mean, I know you have your own personal ones that you celebrate.
New Year's Day is obviously New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's... but everybody gets that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care where you're from. You're sort of obliged to celebrate New Year's Day.
Yeah, you are.
Except perhaps in China, where it might actually be different if they... If they hold
New Year Day? What the fuck, New Year?
Yeah, yeah, because they're. If I'm not mistaken, the Chinese calendar is actually different on the month that it starts as well, not just the year.
Over here we celebrate New Year's Day like 6 days straight.
So it's actually sort of a New Year's days.
It's like a.
It's like the New Year started. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's like a. Who's that writer? F. Scott Fitzgerald. New Year's Day is just like it goes for 6 days. The whole party does.
So is it like, does it actually go like, say, for 4 days, and the last 2 days are just kind of getting over the previous four? You have a wicked hangover after 4 days. Actually, you're Australian, so you just need like a half a day, right?
No, we need four days to fully get hungover. So
It's just trying to build toward the.
That's it. It is.
So yeah, I guess. But, so now that I foolishly stepped in the middle of, well, of course, Cole, it's not the first damn holiday of the year.
Yeah, but you told me the first Australian.
Yeah, very Australian. Because speaking of very Australian holidays, I surprised you one time by sending you a note on Facebook. I recall, and you freaked out because I actually knew the date of Melbourne Cup Day.
I will point out that
I don't remember anymore. But I knew it at the time.
It's the first. Let me quiz you now. Then it's the first. Right. What day of November?
Is it like what day? Was it a Monday? No.
Oh, you were close.
Yeah. Was it like a Tuesday in November?
There you go.
Which makes sense because of the tides. Like that's bullshit. I have no idea why that would be.
Please don't lie to the audience, Cole.
Save it for your other bloody shows. I lie so convincingly sometimes, like fool my co-hosts.
Oh, Andy's easy to fool.
Yes, today is the auspicious Australia Day. This is the holiday celebrating the founding of the country officially, or is it the discovery of the continent itself? By people who were, you know,
all right,
convinced that they were going to be lost at sea and die.
Give me 5 minutes to elaborate on this.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted 5 minutes to research. I don't bloody know.
Oh, no. Let me just say this. Okay. I have been at war on Twitter today with so-called fellow Australians who have...
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were just having war with Hunter again.
Oh, no, that's not. Nah. He's been asleep. No. So I've been at war with so-called fellow Australians who have been labeling today Invasion Day.
I've heard the term being ascribed more as sort of being the term adopted by Aboriginal peoples.
Yeah,
some people feel like they want to have to carry National Shame Day or something like that.
Yes, that's one of them. You still continue to surprise me, Cole, after all these years. But
what's amazing is you could tell when I'm fucking with you and when I'm not. You know, that I actually genuinely knew that.
Yes. That is true. Now, so I've been at war with my so-called fellow Australians who have been screaming about it being National Invasion Day, a white holiday, black oppression. And I've just cut them down every single time. I had an Aboriginal woman who ended up blocking me on Twitter, who, I even doubt whether she was Aboriginal to begin with. Because most Aboriginals, if not all, will use the term indigenous about themselves and their tribes. So I question.
I would suspect Aboriginal would be a term that would seem to be a little bit less than ideal yourself.
It's deemed as derogatory. I mean, these days, what the hell for? You know, it's fucking, it's Aboriginal. You know, it's what they are. They've been Aborigines. But she claimed to have 60,000 years of Aboriginal blood in her bloodlines. And I just drunkenly said to her, well, 60,000 years of all that alcohol would be more potent than a bottle of grappa. And she didn't like that too much.
I can't imagine why.
Oh, fuck her anyway. And it's just like people, like the left, honestly, I'm not going to drag into politics too much, but the left and the socialists over here just determined to ruin this day by protesting in the masses in Melbourne, may I say, of about 18 people outside the steps of Parliament House with a big Aboriginal flag saying that we've been invaded. And, we invaded this country and I should be sorry for everything. I'm like, I'm not fucking sorry because none of my parents are Australian born. They are Greek and English immigrants. So I have nothing to be sorry about to begin with. I am born here. I work here. I pay taxes here. I contribute
And the thing is, that's not uniquely Australian. I think any part of the world that, especially in any part of the first world that was a
Native
former,
American.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like America, you know, we, you know, us crackers weren't always here.
Oh shit! I know you had a fucking glass of red wine. Go on my floor. I would have killed you, Cole. So
but you know, the thing about it is, you're going to have that kind of cultural shame. Anywhere, there'll be someone who you know, that's their thing. They want to wear.
I think the term we like to use, my friend, is white guilt.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that because I think it is pretty much a universally white thing. Because, frankly, all of the colonial nations were a bunch of white people. You know, a lot of different countries were involved over the centuries, but it was all pretty much white guys going out exploring the world and taking over whatever they found. Because they couldn't grow shit in England, you know. Are you not going to find a damn pineapple or something like that in England? So you have to go pretty far afield to get really nice stuff.
Yeah.
And when you got tired of fighting your neighbors, then expansionism sets in. And, colonialization comes in and, you know.
But in all honesty, I mean, people are just really out to ruin the party, and that's all it is. And that's what really bugs me about these people, who unfortunately are strange the same way. And I said back to one of them on Twitter, I said, if you don't like it, just go. No one is keeping you in this country. But I tell you what, you'd be hard pressed to find amongst maybe, say, four or five other countries out there in the world something better than this place. You'd be really hard pressed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know. Same goes for the U.S. I mean, you're very, very patriotic, Cole.
I follow what you're saying because, you know, the thing about it is what that does is kind of culturally undermine the fact that, okay, yes, there is perhaps a certain burden of shame, but it's kind of belongs to a different era, if you will.
That's questionable as well, really. I mean, things tend to get distorted as time goes on, you know, as the decades and the centuries even roll on, things really can get distorted to a point of view that a particular group of people want you to believe. So, I mean, it's like when you have the teachings of the indigenous elders. I mean, they can teach their kids what they want, but are they teaching them truth? Or are they teaching them, you know, a bit of embellished fiction? It's,
you know, well, you're never going to get 100%.
Of course you're not.
Regardless of which side of the fence. But the thing about it is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a little late to be concerned about that, because the you know, those that perpetuated that in the first place are belong to the ages now.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty much dust. So it's difficult to someone, you know, who might. And like myself, I mean, my family line traces back to Scotland, so. But that's so long ago, I could scarcely, unless I just want to, you know, make an ass of myself, call myself Scottish. Because even though technically the family is, and I do have this confirmed from someone in Scotland, an offshoot of the Clan MacDonald. So technically or legally or whatever one calls it, we could actually wear that tartan and it would be okay, I guess. But you know, I really, you know, there's no more of what you know, anything in Scotland's history that I bear any great personal.
Well, you know what, Cole? If you go back to, if you ever go to Scotland and trace your history back to your clan, and they're all wearing Hawaiian shirts, I think you made some.
Oh, that could be. That may be why they asked us to leave.
You're
supposed to wear a kilt, you fool. You're out of here.
It's the other half of your body you got to cover
That's
up.
That's right. Yeah, they were wearing Hawaiian shirts and nothing else. That's really where the problem came in. Which is ironically what I'm wearing right now. So you probably didn't
the
even
hell
know
you
that.
Say, right? No.
No, that's a tragic. Even for myself, that's a horrible picture.
Oh, stop it. I'll stop it.
So, the thing about it is I've been aware of Australia Day amongst the many things that I'm aware of, including marginally Melbourne Cup Day. And just enough to, you know, make an ass of myself. Oh, have you? Happy holiday I know precious little about.
All right.
But the thing about it is, I like that the, you know, just, even if it's just dumb knowledge, of kind of things that are unique to Australia are of interest to me, because, you know, the transverse of that is that the, you know, like our Thanksgiving, a friend of mine was Canadian born, was adopted by American parents, and lived in Canada and the U.S., throughout the course of his life. And he was telling us that when he was in college, at one point going to school in Tennessee, a brilliant would-be journalist in their journalism department had conceived of a great idea, probably as we were approaching late part of November in this country. How about an article on Thanksgiving around the world? So she amassed a large collection of different expatriate students and and foreign nationals who were studying abroad to gather them together to collect their stories of Thanksgiving Day around the world, only to discover that Thanksgiving is almost uniquely American.
Absolutely it is.
And in fact, my friend was the only one who could actually give some account of a Thanksgiving around the world, because I think in the 50s or even as late as the 60s, Canada had adopted a day of national Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But I mean, theirs didn't go back. Our official national day of Thanksgiving dates back to the Civil War.
I think though, if you're Canadian, you have to actually thankful to have something about Thanksgiving when you're...
Yeah, I guess so. To hear him like complain about Canadian ice cream,
that maple syrup though—that'll kick anybody's fucking ass. So. Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, you can just see the chemicals floating to the top." But
uh, In that Canadian. Hey, you know why they're angry? Because they got Michael. No, not Michael Moore. He's not Canadian.
No, but they are angry because they have what's her name. Crap. See, now I can't even think of who it was.
Obviously not important. Yeah. It's really not important. Yeah. But okay, so I'm going to track back to what I was saying. I'm just really tired of the left in this country, absolutely out to destroy one's day by burdening us with a 227-year-old white guilt.
Well, how do they feel about Melbourne Cup Day?
Oh, they don't.
I'm just being an asshole.
That's all right. No, that
doesn't matter. Like, who would protest that?
Listen,
they get the bloody day off. Yeah.
They get it's the whole thing now. Still get the day off, these bastards, with pay. They'll gladly take that. You know what? Take the day off, but don't get any pay for it. Okay? You're quite happy to take, inverted commas, white man's money, for the day off, yet you'll go out and you protest in the streets with your little,
Well, you know what I want to protest posse in the streets about? Is that you guys, I mean, you know, essentially, a goodly part of this country was originally British colonies.
Yeah.
The goodly part of Australia was originally British. Okay. Mm. But you guys get Boxing Day and we fucking don't, and I'm tired of it.
Boxing Day is handy, especially for the day after Christmas. It really
is. I'm like, hey, what gives? How come the Aussies get it? I'm sure the Brits get it.
Well, we get the Boxing Day test as well in the cricket, which is an institution in this country.
Well, we don't know shit about cricket, so. The only thing Americans know about cricket, and I'll tell you right now, is that they've got this weird square bat that was used in Shaun of the Dead. That is the extent of American cricket knowledge right there.
I've actually got, I know one American who actually knows who's tutored herself in cricket, my friend Leslie. Hi, Leslie. She's actually tutored herself in cricket and the rules and luck. And a crash course that she gave me was pretty impressive what she learned in such a short time. I tell you what.
All I know about cricket is what I've seen on Monty Python.
Mm.
So I've seen like a Devan playing cricket.
Oh God, yeah. Where did I see cricket? There was a cricket bat. It was a breeze block attached to it in one of the episodes of The Young Ones, on one of those fake commercials they had there. Yeah.
See, how much I missed out on by not watching that show. I could have watched, known marginally more about cricket. About it is, you have to understand that, for one thing, Monty Python was one of the earliest British comedies to be imported to this country.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people didn't realize the British had a sense of humor.
They
know so little about England here. But, you know, the other thing is that, nobody was in, it took essentially public television to bring, and for the Australian listener, that is basically an entire television and also radio networks that are funded by grants and public donations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took public television stations to, you know, seeking something unique to say, hey, this is some pretty cool stuff going on overseas. And over time, they brought a lot of other shows, some of which I really got into, some of which I didn't care about. But also, it's kind of hit and miss to catch those, especially before the advent of cable and home video and such.
Yeah.
So nowadays, basically what I'm saying is I have no goddamn excuse, so I shouldn't.
No.
I should see that. I can't blame it all on public TV anymore, even when I try.
My goodness, The Young Ones will be right up your alley. Right up your alley. But getting back to Australia, I'm not talking about Britain today.
Oh, that's right, Brits.
Wrong country, Cole. So that's my gripe about particular people out there who are just full of shit, basically. Now we need to talk about cultural icons, Cole.
Okay.
Are you familiar with our friend from our old collector sector days? Jacko.
Oh, I love Jacko.
I know you love
Jacko. Jacko was like the first Australian I ever knew of. I think he even I think he even predated your friend Paul Hogan.
Oh God, you went the Paul Hogan route.
You knew it was going to happen.
Now you know why we go 14 months between shows. That's people. Seriously.
See you in 14 months, folks.
Yeah, see you in
2016.
March 2016. Yes.
But yes, Jacko, who came to the attention of America through, I think, Energizer battery commercials before they...
Yes, he did.
They switched gears and went with a battery-operated rabbit instead, and not the dildo. I want to point that out right now. A lot of people make that mistake. And
yeah. Well, the rabbit was cheaper and actually had more personality.
That is the God's truth. And then he actually went on to get a supporting role in the short-lived, I don't know, like pre-apocalyptic Road Warrior...
Yeah.
Television program Highwayman,
starring who else?
Oddly enough, the only reason I ever bothered tuning in one time was because Jacko was on it.
Holy
I was
shit.
Like, "Oh, it's Jacko!
Jacko!" That was Sam Jones was the other co-host. Am I correct?
I would actually have to look that up, and I may or may not bother.
Well, it wasn't Jacko, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
That's right. It wasn't Jacko. Fuck him.
That means the name of the show wasn't Jacko, so fuck him.
I think that's what we'll go with, you know. I was going to say, it's the Australia Day special, but I like that even better because that has a very Australian feel to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
If it wasn't Jacko, fuck him.
Fuck him. Yeah.
But no, Jacko. I love me some Jacko.
Yeah,
he was a footballer, right?
Yes, he was. Traveled between a few teams. He started out with Melbourne and became very notorious for his on-field antics of,
Go the Storm.
Well, Storm's rugby league. Yeah, it's a different code altogether.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I was trying to fit in there.
You know what? You put your hand in the well so often, Cole, there'd be a piranha there waiting for you.
Yeah, bound to happen.
Tread lightly. Uh-huh. Yeah, Storm's Rugby League. Jacko was the old VFL, which is now the AFL, which is a different code altogether. He played with Melbourne, moved over to Geelong, where he became mostly popular. And he may have moved to St Kilda after that, but by that time he was, already a recording artist and had a moderately popular song on the charts with "I'm an Individual. You Can't Fool Me." I mean, if you look it up on YouTube, it's absolutely god awful. It was very, very, very popular at the time.
Maybe they were particularly bored at that period in Australian history, and they had to.
We were tired of the New Zealand invasion that we had in the early 80s, and as talented as they were, we just didn't.
That must have been about the time that we were having a moderate Australian invasion in this country with, like, Men at Work. And maybe, of course, we had sporadic Australian invasions because, what's her name? Olivia Newton-John and.
Well, yeah, people don't really know she's actually British-born, but it's Australian-based, so,
it's kind of like Mel Gibson, he's not 100% Australian.
Nor Nicole Kidman either, no. No, they're all real pretty much imports. So, like Russell Crowe as well, so all your Hollywood actors who are Australian want them representing are not really Australian-born, so it doesn't really matter. The only one we got is that a fucking... I'll reframe my language on Cate Blanchett. I'm not going to go into her. How much I hate that bitch with a vengeance. I don't want to even bother.
I'm actually reining myself in not to mention PH again.
Oh, he's a harmless imbecile. The tax office won his ass. I don't particularly care about him. Paul Hogan.
I catch it in the right mood. Your hatred of Paul Hogan.
Oh, it can be vitriolic.
It's legendary, but...
It is. It really is. But the thing is, today, I've knocked back a whole bottle of Vic Bitter, which you've seen.
Yes.
Now started on this bottle of Penfolds. Rawson's Retreat Merlot from 2014, and Paul Hogan's just a...
doesn't even register tonight.
No, he does not. He really doesn't.
too mellow for Paul Hogan to be a bother.
It's kind of like that Cheech and Chong. First Cheech and Chong reference.
They're
like
nice.
A Cheech and Chong sketch like mellow.
Mellow.
Yeah. Maybe just like it would be Paul Hogan. Ah!
great reference too. I like that.
Yeah. I was impersonate Rick for a second. That was all
I know. Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar, that was the impersonation of United States of Geekdom's Rick Gutierrez, who would probably maybe once or twice ever uttered the words first fill-in-the-blank reference of whatever given year, but then we'll never live that down. You know, we could all live to be 1,000 or be podcasting a billion shows, you know, and we would still reference.
Someone like myself who followed the USG literally from episode one, actually stepping back to the old Amazing Comic Con.
Yeah, you were following us before we were USG.
Yeah, and followed you from episode one onwards and through today. Rick ain't gonna live that one down.
That's right.
Hey, Rick! Sweet tea! We ain't forgotten!
Oh, nice one!
Elephant
sweet
memories.
Tea! Sweet Mac, sweet tea.
Yeah.
Brew, sweet Mac, brew!
Oh, fuck. Now we're starting to win jokes.
Yes, indeed. In fact, yeah. I was thinking we probably needed to have like a sponsor for each show, and this week, this episode will be sponsored by Sweet Sweetback's Sweet Sweet Tea.
Didn't we have them as a sponsor one week, though?
We may have. Back when we were doing the tail in the collector sector, when it just really went so far off the rails it ceased to be a train.
It became like the...
It was like an avalanche there for a while.
It became like an information show, which turned into like the fucking Donnie Marie hour.
it was like the precursor of this very show, so it seemed only appropriate that...
I tell you what, for those of you who heard the Collector Sector or want to know about it, I wouldn't change a fucking second of anything over that show with Cole and Andy. It was the best times ever.
That was just... We just got to the point where we were freewheeling too much to be what we started out to be, but it was too much damn fun not to do it.
Exactly right. So what Australia Day will entail today would be a day off work for people. Some retail stores are open, but they'll obviously get the evening off. Lots of barbecues going on. You've probably heard us speak before, Australian barbecues are very different to American barbecues. I've experienced both in my lifetime, thankfully. As you know, my friend,
you've experienced Texas barbecue, which is like a whole different animal.
Oh,
in its own right.
Yes, it is. And
famous Sonny Bryan's.
Yes, those guys, and also...
I went to Salt Lick and...
Salt Lick out in Driftwood, yeah.
So, just outside of Austin.
Yeah, and as you know, my love for American barbecue is very well known.
Which, I love the billboards they have as you're getting closer to the Austin area, that you can smell our pits miles away.
Have you been there yet? Oh, you fucking pup.
I tell you. You know, what's going to be really shameful here is 14 months later, I have not been there or to one in a million.
Oh, you fuck. Seriously, you haven't been to one?
You know what's really ironic? Since we spoke last, my mom now lives in Austin, so we have it's that much easier to go down to Austin for us.
Okay.
Since we have accommodations built right in.
For shame.
Yeah, I will have to make that happen sometime in the near future.
I'm coming back to the U.S., don't you?
Yes, I do. I figured that your sole purpose was a obsessive mission to make me go to one in a million. I'm going to bloody well come there and drag it out myself.
Right. Catherine, where the fuck is Paul?
Right. I'm going to grab you Jacko style.
I'm going to grab you by that fucking Hawaiian shirt collar. Get in the fucking car now. Let's go.
That's right.
You have the best fucking Mexican food you ever had. I'll sit there and I'll force feed you tortillas and say, I told you, didn't I? I told you this 4 years ago, didn't I?
I tell you, you don't have to force feed me tortillas. I'll tell you that right now. There's no force necessary. I'll self-feed. I'm like free-range tortilla eater.
Oh, God. You just reminded me of my other love of America. Come on, Cole.
Oh.
L. You finish it off, L.
Oh, of course, of course. Speaking with a very Mexican flair, El Rancho grocery store. It was like, I've never seen anyone get so excited about a grocery store since the... I honestly can't think of anything where I ever saw anyone get that excited about a grocery store.
Well, I told you I want to be buried when I die.
Yeah, right? That's so true. We're working on getting a plot, a funeral plot for you there. They kind of look at us funny, and
yeah,
you know, just another crazy.
I'm so fucking stoked to come back to America this yacht.
We are just can't wait to have you back because America wasn't the same after you got here.
but
plus I love the fact that, you know, in our just travels and moving about the city, in addition to, you know, the absolute unprecedented thrill of El Rancho, we had to stop off the highway so you could get photos of the condom store.
I've still got them. Yes.
In fact, I may have to get your condom store photo for the some of the flavor art for this.
Absolutely.
Episode.
I know exactly where they're at. Yeah.
Because, you know, I could drive there and take a picture myself, but it just wouldn't be the same.
No. You need the moment. You need that snapshot in time.
But that was somebody's like, oh my God, there's a condom store there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got them. You know, it was a novel idea in the 80s and somehow it stuck. Which is kind of frightening, being a condom store.
You hear what I'm saying. Now, let me ask you something. All right. You have been saying for years, Australia's going to see my footprints. When are you coming?
Ah, fuck. Yeah, that's the tough one. Mm. It will happen, but I can't speak to that at full. I really...
Cole, I've got a whole theater upstairs.
I know, it just gets better.
Star Wars ready to go.
Yeah, the contentious theater of doom there. Not that the theater itself is doom laden, but its mere construction was, I think.
Ugh, I'm not going to go on that.
I thought no wonder you don't have anything left for Paul Hogan. You threw it all at the contractors.
Yeah.
I thought, holy crap.
We saved a lot of money in toilet paper while they were building it.
I've heard horror stories of contractors and all that entails, but that was certainly up there.
It was not good, but excuse me, never mind them. We're talking about you coming to Australia, you and Kathy.
Yeah, I was trying to deflect that.
Yeah, I know you were.
But I need to start bending my will toward that end because I'm getting to the point where I could use a proper vacation.
I think so.
Proper holidays.
Arlington, there's only so much you can see around there, and and there's only so many trips to Austin and Houston in particular that you can make. San Antonio.
San Antonio, yeah, but I get to Houston rarely, but especially in 2013 and or 2012 and 2013, whatever the hell it was that I kept going to San Antonio repeatedly.
You were doing major frequent trips down there. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made the San Antonio. It's like, oh, you lucky bastard. Really?
Oh, yeah. And every chance we got to go down to Austin to go shop the Goodwill stores and get more crap.
That's right. And the comic store there.
Yes. And then tidbit of news I found out yesterday, I believe it was, the film Now Hiring that was shot in San Antonio that I have a dual role in will be screened at AllCon 2015.
Oh, lovely.
So finally, like I've posted online that, you know, you can finally see the movie I won't shut up about.
Are we going to get a chance to screen that and actually
the nice
MMC
thing is,
to review it?
I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I think I might be winding up getting a copy of that in the near future. So I'll finally be able to show people in the comfort of my own home. And,
So I'm
looking forward to seeing how that plays out. But
May I say this? You will spot Jedi colonists very easily with two words: Hawaiian shirt.
I have to counter you because while I do wear a shirt over another shirt.
There
is one of the roles that actually was tailor made for me, as it were, because I had a basically a black T-shirt. The stipulation was if you showed up in a black T-shirt or a white T-shirt, you could come out and double as a thug. And essentially, the costume was they would then issue you a plain white, you know, sort of nondescript face kind of mask that you might buy at a hobby store, to paint up for Mardi Gras or something. With a little elastic band and a flannel button-down shirt with the arms torn out.
Jeez, so that would be fucking kryptonite, you wouldn't.
Yeah, it was close enough to the Hawaiian shirt that I didn't break out in hives or anything, like I might normally have been expected to do. And they, and of course, I had more fun just goofing around on location and like walking around with my little shotgun and there's a picture of me somewhere where I'm brandishing my shotgun with my costume there.
Yeah.
And immediately across the street there in downtown San Antonio are actual members of San Antonio's finest.
Uh-oh.
Watching all this. So it's rather an ironic looking picture because they seem like they're completely indifferent to the fact that there's some sort of armed jerk over there across the street from them. But it's kind of fun, you know, in the context of the film itself that they were where they were kind of hanging out a minute watching the filming go on.
Let me ask you something. Was it the first time you ever held a gun in your life?
Probably, I think technically it would be the second. At one point, when I was younger, I actually was aspiring to be a taxidermist, of all things.
Oh, wow, at Norman Bates. Okay.
Yeah, that was really the inspiration, of course, like all young future taxidermists. just outed an entire community.
Norman Bates set the benchmark
for
a taxidermy.
Right. Right. Thank you, Hitchcock. You inspired a generation or two. But
so what inspired you to be a taxidermist, Norman Bates?
That and the ad in Boys Life magazine. attention, young men and boys. Something Smith Company would teach you taxidermy with a mail order course.
Boys Life magazine is published by NAMBLA.
Well, it's now, but.
God.
Actually, that's Life Boys magazine.
Oh, fucking hell.
I actually was an aspiring taxidermist back in the day when I was in my youth and got disheartened with that because there was just never time to try to mess with it. But at one point, we went out with a borrowed rifle or shotgun or something trying to collect some specimens.
Yeah.
And I think I fired the thing all at once at a mattress in an old trash pile out in the middle of nowhere. And we bagged absolutely nothing on that trip.
So I was going to say, it'd be one of the very few times you've ever held
But, you know, being an American American child, having grown up in America, we had the requisite BB gun. As popularized
right.
in the Christmas Story. So, I have to put a movie reference in here because you are, one of the preeminent midnight movie cowboys, of course. But, in fact, I will tell you a little story on myself that my little brother Craig and I actually had a shootout with Daisy BB guns in our front yard one time when we were growing up. Because somehow we accidentally figured out that you could you know, you could take a BB hit and it didn't penetrate or anything. It didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much open season on, you know, good 20 feet apart, just blasting away at each other. I think that's why they invented the paintball.
Oh, I see.
That way, bored kids could shoot something at each other ad nauseum without, yeah, you know, putting an eye out, as it were.
Yes.
Because then they also encourage you to have the face mask, which we had no protection whatsoever.
Let's just get these colored paintballs that will hurt the fuck out of your body for the next 3 days after it's been pelted at you at full speed, you know.
Yeah, terminal velocity, no less.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah.
So, that, I guess technically it was not the first time I held a firearm, but I did notice that you were rather impressed with the way I brandish it on camera there.
Oh, okay then.
I was having so much fun with that thing, because so much so that I was really just blasting away in one of my first shots, and the director's like, I haven't yelled action yet. I was just firing away for all it was worth. The cameras weren't even rolling, so I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the mighty placeholder actually appears on screen in that.
Oh,
one.
No. No.
Yes,
no,
indeed.
No.
The mighty placeholder has been immortalized.
Oh, God. So when's the Oscar nominations coming out for that? Seriously. That's awesome.
I really did not expect that. That he not only appears on screen, but by name.
That is, yeah.
It's
I'm stunned.
I'm
fucking stunned for words. I really am.
Oh yeah. In fact, if I could actually get that on a, you know, a DVD or something, I'll get a screenshot of my my big moments there.
Oh, come on.
Because I was honestly, when we went to see the world premiere in San Antonio last year, Catherine and I went, my mom and her husband, and Catherine's cousins, who graciously put us up for many a weekend during the 3 weekends I came down to be in that film.
Yeah.
And we all go out there and we see this movie, and I'm trying to point out that I knew from the trailer that the thug stuff was in there, where I've got my shotgun, and because there's a great shot in the trailer which just blew me away when I saw it, like, wow. Mark Cantu, the director, was right. I look mean.
I would not want to cross you, let's say that, Mark. Yeah. And I know you. And, you know,
it was so funny because there was a scene that the first scene I shot, which is the one where I just went nuts there before the camera was rolling. And then once I realized that the director does tend to say action before you go nuts. That, you know, we go back, we set up the thing, and they had two cameras rolling. And Mark is there, you know, they're shooting the thing. I'm just gunning away at the police who would be at the other end of the street, and for all I'm worth, and ducking behind the car there at the side of the road, and then I'd go back out and start shooting some more. I was just having fun with it. He just said, you know, just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was not a whole lot of extraneous direction, so I just thought, you know, I guess it would make sense, you know, you'd have to duck every now and again, and then just go back and start blasting away. And the little gun thing, the mechanism on the gun had a thing where you would pump the action and it would actually lock, and the trigger would unlock it.
Yeah.
Right before we started shooting, that broke. So I was having to be very mindful of being sure to throw the action forward and be sure that I was pulling the trigger before I pulled it back again. So at least, you know, I didn't have the physical cues. I had to make my own. But I was just there gunning away, and then he calls cut, and he's looking at the playback on the screen. And he calls me. He's like, Cole, come here. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And I go over, and he the guy's queuing it back up again. He goes, okay, we're here, and he starts it up, and I'm watching it play out, and behind me, the director is adding his own music.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just the coolest thing. They're watching myself on screen, and behind me I'm hearing da 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 da.
You know, there's some old guy out in Waco at the moment when he sees that and goes, "That boy gun's broken."
Exactly. Well, actually, Ted Nugent, that was the first thing he said.
Yes, he's gun broken. Yeah.
One thing it's a toy, and another thing it's broken. You can tell.
This guy doesn't know what the hell he's fucking doing.
That's right. That must be the first time he's held a gun in his life.
Nah, I'd say it's the second time he's held a gun in his life, actually. Right.
He probably had a shootout with a BB gun with his brother or some shit.
This
like
guy's
that.
Got shot nothing more but a mattress in his life, I bet.
He can tell. He has that power. He can look at someone. They pick up a gun at a gun show and like, "You've been shooting for the last 20 years. How did you know? I'm Ted Nugent. Oh, my God." It's...
Yeah, look at me. You know this face. You know who I am.
That's right.
You're questioning me. Oh. Yeah, but anyway, let's straying way off track. But it doesn't matter. This is just BS.
This is BS. Exactly. But that was a tremendous experience. So I'm looking forward to hopefully you'll be able to actually see this thing because it was so much fun to be in, and I wasn't expecting much to make it on camera.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always that.
I was trying to downplay, you know. I know I'm in part of it, but don't expect a lot. And then we go see it, and they're like, "Okay, why were you trying to downplay this?" Because I had no idea. I mean, they didn't like call me up, "Hey, Cole, you're going to be in this." I didn't even know I was in the trailer, okay. Much less how much of the film.
Now, do we see you without the mask, or strictly the mask only?
No, I'm only appearing on camera as the Mighty Placeholder, so I've got the Domino mask for that, and the purple cape and all that sort of thing going on. And the other was with the, there's the thug. It's all, there's about, throughout the film, about five or six of us that don that essentially the same costume.
You know, totally, there's a Mighty Placeholder action figure coming down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if my old friend Russell King were still around here, I'm sure there would be a custom one forthcoming.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, you know that film needed though. You know it totally needed Elaine Sanchez.
That it did. It did.
It did.
Well, we need a Elaine Sanchez movie. Well, actually, there almost is a Elaine Sanchez movie because there's somebody had shot some video. When Andy first moved to Texas, we hosted a party for him.
Wait. Not that Andy has anything to do with Lance Sanchez.
Lance Sanchez
is his own entity.
He knew Lance Sanchez, so we were able to get him to come to the party. And, there's a scene, ironically, of Lance Sanchez and Rick, along with Lance's old friend, Stuart Denny. It's not pretty, but... It's worth a look, so I'll have to see if I can find out who shot that and get that.
Yes.
It's too good to miss.
It's the very rare Lance Sanchez.
Yeah, in fact, I was reflecting back on El Rancho, and I think when I sent some stuff your way...
Yes?
I deliberately saved some El Rancho flyers for you, for some of their sales flyers. So that you could
relive. I visit their website regularly. I actually download the PDF.
You know weekly what's on, what the latest price is on jalapenos and.
You should come to me and say, hey, Stu, what's the chicken going for a pound? Oh, it's like $1.99. Yeah, right. This week. You got till Wednesday. That's it.
I may have to see if I can go in and sneak a picture inside El Rancho of that meat department.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, even to me is incredible where they've got like this, those little, it's like a meat aquarium. Because they have this little, narrow dividers and it's just like they shoved chicken legs all the way up to the front.
Oh my goodness.
Right up to the glass, and then there's, you know, you go to the next one, there's like big chunks of skirt steak all piled, like somebody's shoveled.
Jesus,
are
we trying to ruin my Australia Day? Jesus. I've had like fucking two Lamingtons to eat all day. That's all I've had.
I saw that. What the hell were those things in that bowl? I talk about something uniquely Australian.
They are.
It looked like there was somebody, like, it looked like a cubist shit, basically.
Well, you tread carefully, my friend. Okay, Lamingtons are Australian-based cakes, and on the outside is the coconut, and the inside is a sponge cake.
You sold me on the coconut alone.
Mmm. And on the inside is a sponge cake, which is not a kitchen sponge, literally, but it's called a sponge cake. And inside,
ironically, we know what sponge cakes are in this country.
Oh, I
know. We don't know it. Most commonly known as the component pastry of the Twinkie.
Yes. Okay. All right. So it's a sponge cake, but in the middle of it is like some jam and cream.
Okay.
And it's covered by a, I don't know if you call it chocolate coating, but it's some sort of coating, and it's sprinkled with, coconut, shredded coconut. And it is absolutely beautiful, very Australian. I had no Tim Tams in the house today, so I couldn't eat any Tim Tams.
Oh, I saw your picture of the Tim Tams. You had your chance. They were 2 for $5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and that's with I. But
and that's 2 for $5 Australian to our American listeners.
Oh yeah, 2 for $5 Australian, which is about
two for $2.50 over here or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the fucking rate the dollar is at the moment. I tell you what, that's what's killing me getting over there. But my ass will see your fair land again in May.
Oh,
I tell you.
Excellent.
Yes. So yeah, I'm not really much of a sweet tooth. That's the whole thing. I was like,
I remember that when you were here. We just, you know,
yeah, just not.
If we saved money on dessert,
but you spent it all on fucking Snapple.
That's so true. Yeah, you do have a Snapple fetish. Hang on, just a second here.
Oh God. I was like, I could just, you know, if someone just like tied me up like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction and just chewed Snapple, I'd be a happy camper, let's say that much.
Amen to that. We'll have to remember to lay in a good supply again.
And Arizona iced teas. Yeah, I do like my Arizona iced teas.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I just couldn't figure out a way to export the Snapple to you. I didn't think they let me sneak that in with the
cheap ass fucking chicken wings from El Rancho snap balls. Yeah. You're ruining my day, Cole. What are you doing?
Well, you're the one who didn't pick up any damn Tim Tams when you had the chance. Like, I'll take a picture of them and then not buy them.
I don't care much for Tim Tams, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I really don't. But
you were just trying to illustrate something again, uniquely Australian.
Yeah, I actually was.
Which, ironically, you can... Tim Tam is one of the few things you can find in some grocery stores here.
Oh, you can get... Now, because you've got the British Emporium still near you, correct?
Yeah, but they don't seem to have as much Aussie stuff anymore.
I'm guessing by much, yeah.
They didn't... Yeah. They used to have, like, a little section there, but it kind of disappeared in favor of other things. And, but it's still a good place to get a lot of stuff that you can't find anywhere else. But also there are a handful of grocery stores, some of the bigger chains, that actually have like a, you know, international section.
Oh, we have that. We stock usually either Indian spices and paste Mexican. But couple of things. There was one thing that Catherine's very fond of. Now, what is it? Is it Violet Crumble?
It is the Violet Crumble. I was about to mention that the last couple of times I was over there, they didn't have Violet Crumble anymore.
Oh, really?
I was just there to get my Jelly Baby fix.
Oh, I see. Yes. And now Pizza Hut over here has started the Vegemite stuffed crust pizzas.
Oh, in fact, I saw that the other day, and knowing we were going to do this, I meant to ask about that.
Okay, I've not
is
tried
Vegemite
it.
Is something that you would think, you know, someone who tried to smuggle the economy-sized jar into this country. But
I still rue that decision these days. I tell you. But the fuck you, customs.
But the you know, I have like zero familiarity with Vegemite other than I saw some thing on an Australian TV show. I saw a clip of where some Canadian guy was saying it was like spreadable beer.
Oh, it's not a bad description, actually. It's a very heavy beef yeast extract. That's a lot of words to say at this time of day for me.
Well, especially after all the bitters and the wine.
And the wine, yeah, yeah.
I'm impressed. You've done very well.
Trust me, I was heavily articulating and slowing it down, my usual speech pattern. Beef yeast extract program. Save time, Stuart. I bet you won't get that fucking far into it. Like I've told other friends who are American, you basically have to be raised on it. It's kind of like how I told you and Catherine how I didn't like grits. I wasn't very fond of grits.
Yeah, yeah. You literally,
even the ones the good ones we have with the
and even Americans, you have to be like from the South. It's pretty much. I think it says it on the box now.
Okay.
Like, you know, the box of grits, like, you know, men at grits. It says like, you know, warning, must be from the South. There were some lawsuits or something, so they had to warn people down.
Okay, you're messing with me, aren't you? This is the part where I
need to remember to get a box of grits and add a label on there.
More and more must be from the South.
It's warning, must be from the
South. S-O-U-F,
yeah.
No, but honestly, like I say, we've got these Vegemite. Oh fuck, am I going to say it again? Vegemite stuffed
pizza.
Vegemite and cheese stuffed.
Yeah. So I was just curious: is Vegemite something that would be conducive to wrapping inside a pizza and cooking, or is it just pandering? You know, like let's get the fucking Australian something they know.
I think it is. I think it's pandering because the thing is, if you try and dissolve Vegemite into a sort of a gooey liquid,
yeah,
you'd have to cook it for a freaking long time.
Yeah.
Honestly. Would it taste all right? Yeah, I've had cheese and Vegemite before. Like, what we do over here is we'll have toast, and then we'll get a block of cheese and we'll cut a big slice off and we'll stick it on the toast and melt it down somewhat. Not a great deal. Then we'll spread Vegemite on the other piece of bread, lay them together, and then you got cheese and Vegemite toast.
Okay.
So, I don't know if someone's had some sort of ridiculous epiphany that this is going to work.
Yeah, it almost seems like some sort of novelty. Like, you know, if you put the shit in there, everybody's going to, a lot of people are going to try it.
Yeah.
And even if it sucks, then at least they can eat all the way to the crust.
Let's say and say, I've tried it. And it's gone. Well, whatever.
Exactly. You get that. I'm trying to remember some of the stuff that was like that here. But every now and again, you'll get some stuff like, what the fuck are you thinking? And then you realize, oh, well, they're going to sell enough of this to be worthwhile.
Oh, look, people are going to be curious and say, look, just I'll try one. Even if it's $5, I'll say, look, I don't care.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that out because I wanted to mention the Vegemite stuffed pizza.
Yeah. I think what they'll do is they'll know pretty much quick smart, excuse me, it's a failure. And they'll say, look, limited time, 4 weeks and this thing's gone because I know it's a pile of shit. But they'll have made their money on it because...
I don't know if it was a significant, you know, anniversary of the country or just a different fast food kind of thing that went on. But wasn't it like last year, a year before, that McDonald's decided some of their outlets would be really super pandering and actually changed the signs?
Yes.
To the very Aussie Maccas.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the one that was about 100 feet from my work, which I did take a photo of on my very antique work phone. But, I just, like they said, for, I think it might have been this time last year.
Yeah, it was recent enough that it sticks in my memory that it was either last year or year before. And I didn't remember if that was something, you know, if that was a significant year in Australia, you know, like anniversary or something like that, like, you know.
No, I don't think... I think
X number of Australia Day, or is just because somebody got a wild hair and decided to...
I think it was the latter. Yeah. Someone's got a wild hair and said, you know what, let's see if we can legally change this storefront to Macca's for, say, 4 weeks, and we'll do that. And because that is a thing over here, it's Macca's. That's what it's known as. Yeah.
I'm just glad that, you know, like, somewhere like in Chicago or something, they didn't just change them to Mickey D's, because I would have just had to shoot myself.
Can we go to the first Coming to America reference and McDonald's? Yeah. But yeah, they changed it for about 4 weeks, and the one that was right near my work, where I come out of the main building of work and walk along Elizabeth Street, and yeah, there was change to Macca's. Like, wow, okay, this one's done it, because not all of them did it. It was very selected.
Yeah.
Only a few did it.
Well, I have to imagine that, you know, especially if they're doing it short term, the costs have to be horrendous, because you have to actually physically create a minimal number of signs, so you don't get the kind of return you'd get on something that's mass produced.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you know, you so much as hang a shingle out in this country, the city comes in and collects a heavy, you know, it's like Team America. It's a hefty fucking fee. We were looking into going legit on having a shop. It was just amazing how many hands go out. So I can imagine, you know, they'd never do shit like that here, because it would cost a fortune just to get the permit to change the sign from one to the other, and then to get the permits to change it back.
I don't think it would have been much of a hassle, because where this McDonald's is located, which is one of the biggest ones in the country, well, in Victoria anyway, is conveniently located across the road from City Council.
Ah.
So it wouldn't have been that hard to get. But the thing is, well, what you have to understand, Cole, is that people will say, okay, there's maybe, let's say 10 McDonald's change the name to Macca's for that time period. Hey, let's go and eat there and get a picture taken with it.
Oh, yeah. And people will drive.
Exactly.
Here they would drive many, many miles, but I guess they're many, many kilometers.
There you go.
To be pandering.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's right. And they'll say, hey, the one on Elizabeth Street, right near Flinders Street Station, has changed its name. Okay. Hey, let's go there. Let's eat there. And we'll get a picture taken underneath the sign, because it's not going to appear again.
And actually, you know, I think about it, it seemed like there was something similar done here, where some 7-Elevens became Quickie Marts.
Oh, from the Simpsons. Right,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, and it just jogged that memory back up. But I think for a while there were a few 7-Eleven outlets that became when the Simpsons movie was coming out.
Yeah.
They changed the signs to Quickie Mart.
And
I, you know, hadn't thought about the fact that would be a little ploy to get people to go to that 7-Eleven. You know, if your 7-Eleven outlet was viable to do that with, then, you know, everybody would come over there, they get their picture taken, they come in and get a big gulp and a
64-ounce big gulp.
That's your hide. 2007, apparently.
The Quickie Mart?
Yeah.
Ah, this is a while back now.
I vaguely remembered that. But I guess that can happen in this country. 6,000 stores.
Gee, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot. I do want to say this, okay? Okay, this being Australia Day, and me being, as you know, my friend, a very patriotic, very proud Australian man. And what I do want to say is, what Australia means to me is a country that I love dearly, is my home, is also a place of free speech, of freedom, and just where one can come from any other culture, and if they want to assimilate with us and be accepted with those with the open arms that we would expect from any other country in the world. As the US, and that's how your country and mine, Cole, America and Australia are very, very similar, and very much why I think you and I personally get along very well, because we are so similar, and we have the same ideals. Our country has the same ideals. And absolutely. Yeah, I love Australia, and I just
well, I think it's little wonder that I have grown so fond of it myself over the years.
Well, I think it is. As we spoke one time, we just said it just seems like we just very, very our countries are very similar to each other. We both have the same. We have different ways that the politicians run things, which we won't get into now. It's just no point. But that becomes a
moment.
We both have this. Our countries both have the same goal. You know, we'll embrace you with open arms if you can assimilate with us. And there is so much here for you if you want to work for it and take it. So,
plus Australia has routinely what we haven't had much of in at least this part of North America, and that's kick-ass like wild tropical birds. Because early residents of this part of the country long ago wiped out all of our indigenous tropical birds that were left in the southern part of the U.S.
If you like that, I can tell you what. When I stayed at my father's house up in Queensland in December last month, Queensland being very different to Victoria, I love Queensland. It's almost like a damn tropical rainforest there. It is so beautiful to look at.
Well, it's just, as long as it's not that damn Sydney. Are you softened on Sydney as well? Could that be?
No, I'm just going to have another drink on that one.
Okay. That one got you. Okay.
Took an hour or so.
Needless to say, I'm going to like pull out every bar that I know from knowing Stu all these years.
That's right.
I had to point out there's a few things, a few places you just don't go, and that's...
Sydney's like a trump card, really, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, that's a gimme.
I've thrown everything at Stuart now. It's not sticking. Okay, there's Sydney. Okay. Yeah, that's where you'll get me all the time. Like I've said many times, Sydney's a beautiful place to look at, but it's people, not all of them, but a lot leave to be desired, that's all.
So I just lost all my audience in Sydney, but oh, who cares?
Oh, look.
I do want to point out, though, since we are, you know, this is Australia Day, I want to challenge your fellow countrymen. Australia used to be on my the stats for my website. Australia will always appear somewhere in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, Australia has fallen off.
Because you haven't done shit for 8 months.
That's
fucking fault.
I never made the connection there, of course. It's little wonder Australia turned its back on me.
Come on, you're a sharp man.
You're like, oh, that bloody BSSB and stuff.
Who is that Australian guy we can associate with?
Yeah, that's right. Can't understand what the fuck this Yank's saying.
What's this Yank? And is this guy who sounds like he's had about 15 cups of coffee? What's his name? Or Andy Farmer? Oh, God. Can't take these guys, mate. I mean, where's this fucking half-assed round table? You know?
Oh, damn you.
So yeah, hey, I got Bob's too cold.
Indeed you do. So I will pledge to bring back more of Australia's favorite son on the JCU, and if Australia will do me the favor of returning to the fold, I think that's a good deal.
I'll pull some Big Brother shit.
So, in closing, I want to say very happy Australia Day to yourself and to all of your fellow countrymen who are willing to celebrate in the way that you do and enjoy the day for the purposes intended, and a very, very early happy Melbourne Cup Day.
Fuck, we're going to wait till Melbourne Cup till we talk again?
No, I'm not going to get with that sooner than March. but we are going to make it an effort to bring back some stuff. I've got some plans for Super Geek Out because I miss that tremendously, as well as Half-Ass Roundtable.
That's been fucking ages since we done one of the last
I didn't really even want to look to see how much longer ago those were. But
It was Christmas 2011, the last one we did.
Well, just haul off and tell me how long ago it was.
Well, save me the hassle of looking it up. I mean,
I didn't want to know. I'm actually, you know, I'm filled with shame. This is my shame march here. This is legitimate shame. This is shame I need to bear, because it has been too damn long.
It has, but let me challenge you now to something.
Ah, okay.
I dare you to put out Super Geek Out number 3, our Christmas one, unedited, uncut.
If I still have the file, that will never happen.
I've got it. Don't worry.
Of course you do.
Yeah, you know I've got it.
You need to have an archive of shame.
Oh, God. I actually pulled the whole glass eye thing with Hunter the other day when we were recording. He just fucking laughed his ass off.
The first time we met Hunter, he was just begging us to send him the uncut file.
Really? I told him I've got it. Fucking jackass. I told him I've got that thing. Jesus.
Well, I think back then it was more closely guarded.
That was never going to
be released to anyone outside those who were involved. We were never going to speak of it again. But
I think this
was heavily built up on that one.
I think, Cole, in closing, if we can put the Super Geek Out number 3, the full unedited file, would be similar to in Raiders of the Lost Ark, with Indy switching the head for the bag of sand.
That's so true. And that will set off a series of events that if we're extremely fortunate, we may escape. But
German heads will explode. It won't be
pretty. So we'll leave that one in the vaults, as it were. We have top men working on that one.
Well, damn well, one day I'm going to sit around with a few beers and go, you know what, I was going to put it out, and you know what, I'm going to tell them and say, hey, sorry, I put it out, and whatever happens next is your own fault. And I get like yourself and Rick and Catherine going, what have you done? It's like, we'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
That's right. We will bid you adieu with the profound and sincere promise that it will not be 14 months or even 4 months before the next one of these. And there's some revivals in the future coming up. I have some great
I hear from Cole going, hey, Stu, I've just started another podcast. God, shit. All right.
How many damn podcasts do you need, you strange person?
Hey, let's go before we go. How many podcasts you got, man?
How many podcasts you got?
That's an old In Living Color and fucking collector's sector joke, that
That's
one.
That's right. So as we close, where do we find you? We've mentioned the Midnight Movie Cowboys a couple of times here. Guide people in that direction.
Okay, you can get me over at midnightmoviecowboys.com. I do a weekly show there, even though we've taken a break for the last month. But I say by the time you hear this, our latest episode will be out, which won't have me on it, but they'll have my life mate Hunter on there, and our other co-host John, who's been with us for about, I think he's third year now, so it's been quite a while.
Nice.
Yes, and we do a weekly show. We do. We're starting to do other stuff. We're taking a page out of the Jedi Cole universe and actually starting to do side shows appearing on the feed.
Nice.
But just did one with one of our regular or one of the co-hosts in there, Bill, and we talked about Charlie Hebdo and The Room and called Je Suis MMC, which is up on the website there for you to... No download. Play only, actually, for some reason.
Oh.
You can only play it. Hunter and Andy did one which was fantastic about Spike Lee's Old Boy called Netflix Roulette. And that was really funny. I really enjoyed that. And it's a regular show there with John and myself and Hunter. And MidnightMovieCowboys.com. We're up on iTunes. We're up on Stitcher Radio. Which, Cole, if you don't have Stitcher, get on that shit, man. Cause the,
I'll get my technical...
You're frozen caveman technology.
Yeah, I'll give my technical advisor on that one. Andy? Help.
Andy, yeah. I was going to say Andy. Yeah, we're all over there, but you can get me there if that so interests you. And you know what? We've had requests for the old collector sectors to be reposted because they've disappeared off the USG feed.
Oh, really? I did not
shows,
know.
Shows, yeah, just due to shows on the USG, just accumulating and something else to give. So, you know what? An old posting old collector sector that we all did would be nice, you know. And with your permission and Andy's, I'd like to. Sticks them up on the MMC feed for
yeah. If we can rest that free of Rick, we'd I wouldn't mind having some of that stuff. And I think partly that becomes kind of old news after a while. But it always did amaze me, you know, a year or 2 years later, I'd go look at the stats on the USG from time to time, and it was always amazing to me, like, why would you dial up a I guess, you know, if you saw it sight unseen, you might not realize what it was, but it just seemed kind of like, you know, collector sector for the week of whatever, and it would be like, that seemed like that would just be decidedly dated, but...
It would be dated, but the thing is, if someone enjoys what they're hearing,
yeah.
They go, well, okay, I like the dynamic between these guys here.
Yeah, and if you want to have a little slice of what was coming out, what was it like back then? This first issue or something wasn't even out yet.
What was it like hearing Andy get upset when the fact that I would do impressions and make fun of Jock and all sorts of things?
And, Jock.
Yeah. Yeah, what was it like to hear Cole talk about toys and just go on? Yeah, let me this one last thing. We're just going about this because I'm missing you with my dear friend Cole by saying, what was it like to check the old episodes when you hear Cole go, shit. I haven't got the, hold on a minute. Let me just check this up. Hold on a minute. Oh, yeah, this is going out.
I'm slightly more prepared these days at intervals. So.
I know you are, but like I said, I wouldn't.
But only slightly.
And like I said, I will say it in this frank tone, I wouldn't change one fucking second of what I had doing that show. Ever.
That was a trip.
Yeah, it was. Nothing like hearing me being awake for 10 minutes, literally being woken up to do a show.
That's right.
Yeah, and yelling at the kids for throwing rocks at a fence, and I was all there.
Well, I'm saying sometimes we would have the birds singing a pretty song.
The birds, because I was always recording outside the front yard. I forgot about that shit.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was like this pastoral garden motif. It's like one of those relaxation tapes. So, you know, you were freshly awake and you're putting us to sleep. You know, like, oh, it's so relaxing.
Yeah, I know, right. Thank you.
So, very nice. Well, you have found us here over a year later on the Jedi Cole, Universe of JediCole.com. I will, once this is on the site, you might have been alerted to it by one of my rare tweets. You can follow me on Twitter if you're into Twitter feeds that aren't that active.
At
the Jedi Cole U. You can write to me at Jedi Cole, jcumail@yahoo.com. And you can, we also now have the, speaking of things that are inactive most of the time, the new Jedi Cole Universe YouTube channel, where you can see the, an odd collection of strange things that we can't explain. And of course, earlier today I was at a convention in, Dallas, and many more conventions coming up, so you can check out the entire Texas convention scene. on my other website, because how many websites you got, man? at the Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is the now freshly abbreviated web address of www.cap-tx.info. A much less unwieldy web address for...
Cap Texas.
There we go. Oft yeah. imitated on my other shows. Yeah. With apologies.
Cap Texas.
Cap Texas. So be sure and check that out because you can't go if you don't know. And we will be back another time with musings and ridiculous bullshit between two friends in two countries because, hey, why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not? Exactly.